In February 1955, the Los Angeles Police Department announced a contest to determine the new motto for the police academy. If it was popular enough, the announcement stated, it might eventually be adopted as the official motto for the entire department. The winning motto, submitted by an officer, Joseph DeRobeck, made the official motto of the LAPD in 1963, was to protect and to serve. Since then, this motto has been officially adopted by many other police departments across the country, and it's been unofficially adopted by many more as a compelling summary of the ideals and mission of policing: to protect and to serve. It's unclear whether the officer who came up with this motto had this in mind, but to protect and to serve, or to serve and to protect, was actually the first mission that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden. After God planted a garden in Eden, it says in Genesis chapter 2 that the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to keep it and to till it. These two Hebrew verbs, which are often translated to till and to keep, can also be translated as to serve and to protect. Outside of the book of Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament, whenever these two verbs appear together, to serve and to protect, they always refer to the duties of a priest. The duty of a priest in the Old Testament is to serve in the temple, to serve by offering sacrifice, and besides serving, to also protect God's people by ensuring that nothing evil enters into the temple. The Garden of Eden was the very first temple, and Adam, the very first priest. It was his duty to serve and to protect, to minister within the garden and to ensure that nothing evil entered the garden from the outside and threatened those who lived there. Now, in the beginning, Adam lived in harmony with God and with all of God's creation, with the plants, the animals, and of course with his wife Eve. And although Genesis is silent on this point, there's actually a Jewish tradition that Adam lived and interacted with the angels. The tradition is that there were angels there in the garden who ministered to Adam and who actually prepared his food and brought it to him. Things began to fall apart in the garden, of course, when the serpent showed up. And the serpent showed up seemingly out of nowhere. This was the first sign that Adam had failed in his duty to serve and to protect. Just like the later Old Testament priests would be charged with guarding the temple and ensuring that nothing evil entered into it, Adam was charged with protecting the garden and all those in it. He was meant to ensure that nothing evil entered into the garden, nothing that would threaten those within the garden, especially his wife Eve. The serpent, you see, should have never had a chance to talk to Eve. The serpent should have been nowhere near Eve. Adam should have been on the watch, on the guard. He should have repelled the serpents at the gates of the garden. That is why the Christian tradition has always referred to this as the sin of Adam, even though it was Eve who was specifically targeted and tempted by the serpent. Adam may have excelled at that first part of the mission to serve within the garden. He might have excelled at cultivating and caring for the garden, but he failed at that second part. He failed to protect the garden and those within it. All this serves as an important background to our gospel today. In typical fashion, Mark's account of the temptation of Jesus is much shorter than it is in either Matthew or Luke, but there are a couple details that Mark includes that makes it clear that we should think of Jesus as the new Adam in this moment. We heard in our gospel that while Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert for 40 days, Mark says that Jesus was among the wild beasts and that angels ministered to him. To a first century Jewish audience, these details would have immediately reminded them of Adam, who lived among the wild beasts in the garden and who, according to tradition, was ministered to by angels. Mark is making it clear that Jesus is the new Adam, and that where the old Adam failed in his mission, Jesus succeeded. Jesus has come to put an end to the work of temptation and sin that Satan, the ancient serpent, began in the garden. Jesus has come to serve and to protect God's people, to place himself between us and the enemy. Instead of allowing the serpent to slither past his watchful gaze, instead of allowing the serpent to target and tempt his people, Jesus will lay his body down. He will put his body in front of the serpent and between us, and he will eventually, on the cross, accept the mortal blow, the deadly bites of the snake who will lash out, who will strike back after he first fails to tempt Jesus. Jesus came to serve and to protect, to, as it were, take a bullet for us so that we might live. So what does this mean for all of us today? In the first place, it can be helpful to remember this when we face temptation, which, of course, we all do. Before Jesus came, there was no one to stand between the serpent and us. Had the first Adam, the old Adam, succeeded in his mission, his victory would have served as a kind of permanent shield of protection for us from the serpents. But where the old Adam failed, the new Adam, Jesus, succeeded. And so whenever we face temptation today, it's helpful to remember that Jesus stands between us and the serpents. Jesus is there to serve and protect us. And as long as we do not reject his protection, as long as we rely on the help of his grace, we have nothing to fear from temptation. We have nothing to fear from the lies and the suggestions of the evil one. The second takeaway from our gospel today is specifically for husbands, fathers, and men in general. When Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the deserts, and when he took up the mission of Adam to serve and to protect, he was doing so specifically as the new Adam, and therefore as a man, a father, and a husband. In all four Gospels, Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom. Jesus saw himself, in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, as God coming to establish and renew his covenant of marriage with his people. Jesus is the new Adam, then God's people, we the church, are the new Eve. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom, and it is the particular spousal privilege and responsibility for a husband and father to serve and to protect his wife and his family. This is what Jesus, the bridegroom, does for his bride, the church. And that's what husbands and fathers are called to do, to serve and to protect their families. And so when we are faced with temptation, brothers and sisters, let's remember that we're not alone, that we're not just facing this temptation head on. Jesus stands between us. He is our shield. We have everything that we need, every grace that we need to resist temptation. Jesus is there to serve and protect us. And for the husbands and fathers in our midst, for all men in general, all men in the church, let's take this gospel as a personal challenge to step forward, to once again place ourselves alongside Jesus in the fight. Let's recommit ourselves as husbands and fathers in our mission given to us by God to serve and to protect. Let's try our utmost with the help of God's grace to stop the serpent at the gates and not allow him access anymore to our families, our schools, our communities, and our nation. Amen.